Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I have had my love pats every single flight I have taken, which is at least twice a week for the last 4 years of my life because I have a knee replacement. So I am wildly excited about the notion that I can walk through a machine instead of getting my dose of love pats.
Yes, it's me and I'm in love again. Had no love and say you.
So that's Senator Claire McCaskill of Missouri. Saying she's excited that she walked through a machine at an airport and get love pats. Well, I'm interested in this topic because I didn't know that sex was still legal in Missouri. I thought it had been outlawed about 100 years ago. But apparently I learn something new every day, and one of them is that Senator Claire McCaskill looks forward to getting her dose of love pats from a TSA agent. As we left off on yesterday's program here on the Savage Nation, I wrote a little riddle, which is that I guess kids are now going to go from playing doctor to playing TSA. Hi, Betty. Want to play TSA? Well, sure, Bobby. How does it work? You show me yours and I won't show you mine. But apparently there are some senators out there, male and female, who like love pats from TSA agents, but apparently most Americans don't. You want to talk about it again? You can talk about it again. I'll have to put up with it again. I'll put up with it again. I told you yesterday, be careful what you're asking for here. This entire hysteria is being driven by the radical left wing, and it's been picked up by the right wing. I'm not saying I like it. I hate it. I'm the first one in the media to ever talk about it to the extent I did 2 years ago. I hated it, so I stopped flying. Or if I fly at all, I fly by private jet. Now, I realize most people don't want to fly by private jet because they can't afford it. I'm not boasting. I have to be perfectly honest with you. I'd rather spend the money, if I have to go anywhere, on a private jet than subject myself to this. So I don't fly at all. I'm going to L.A. next week for Thanksgiving. I'm going to go by Chevy van because I don't want to love pat. And we also know it's an intrusiveness, in addition to being insulting and sexually, let's say, embarrassing. We also know that there are perverts who are taking jobs in the TSA. This is happening. We also talked about using dogs. I suggested elephants instead of dogs because elephants have a better sense of smell than I think any other animal, unless you could bring in a wolf. Maybe next Big Sister will bring in a wolf. By the way, I was the first one to use the word Big Sis back 10 years ago. Big Sis is a miss. Thank you very much. It's now become viral because of my good friend in the internet business, which is fine. We all borrow from each other. I don't need anyone to give me the credit for it. What matters is that we know Big Sis is out of control. What we know is that Big Sis likes pat-downs. What we know is that Big Sis is a miss. And we know that the Big Sis situation is getting out of control. We know that. Sisipedia is going to be a new booklet put out by the department. I'm sorry. It just came out of me. I know it should be on the Drudge Report tonight. But Sisipedia, I understand, is going to be published by Janet Napolitano with the pictures of Republicans and conservatives only. I can't help it if my creativity is so great. I can't help it. You know, Sisipedia wouldn't be a bad booklet for them to put out. They could probably sell it in the underground. You know, that would be a great underground hit, Sisipedia, pictures of Republicans and just think about the fun the left could have when they look at the private parts of Republican men and say that, well, let's leave it at that. You can picture the rest. You know how they think over there. But I don't think that way. A Democrat senator said that crotch grops are just love pats, as we played. Another man was arrested after punching a screener in Indianapolis. Another person called it state-sponsored sexual harassment. Now we read that Sarah Palin says she can beat Obama. Oh, God, that's the worst news I've seen today. You betcha. You betcha, Sarah, don't do this. Please don't do it. Please don't read it. You betcha. Sarah, please don't do this. Sarah, I like you as a person, even though I never met you. I like your politics. I like your gutsiness. Please, you're going to lose if you run. You know, having Nancy Pelosi win again as minority speaker or minority chairman is the best news I, as a conservative, have had in 2 years. Having Sarah Palin announce she's going to run against Obama is the best news that socialists have seen in 2 years. It's the equivalent, only worse. Sarah Palin cannot beat Obama. No matter how bad Obama is, no matter what damage Obama has done, and believe me, I've written a whole book about it. Do I have to remind you? And I want you to understand that the man is a pan-Leninist. She can't beat him. She cannot beat him for a number of reasons. Now, you want to argue with me about it? Go ahead. Or you want to continue to talk about the TSA, PSA, PSA test? You want to talk about, you know, there was PSA tests that men get to see if their prostate numbers are high. And maybe there should be a TSA test now to see how high your X-ray, your R level is from TSA levels, from dosages at the airports. Maybe this could be a new thing, a TSA level, another medical test for Obamacare to pay for. Along with the PSA test, you get a TSA test. A touching sick animal touches you, that's all. There's another acronym for you. Steal that, too. TSA, touching sadistic animals. Does that work for you? So you've got two new bits already tonight from the Savage Nation before we even started. One is Sysopedia with X-ray pictures of Republicans and conservatives published by Janet Napolitano. And then we have TSA touching sadistic animals. So then we got two things to work with. We're on a roll tonight on the Savage Nation. So you want to talk about dogs? I don't know. Goodness, this is... I got a headache already before I even started. Not a real headache, a minor. I got a minor one coming in on the top left. I can tell the level of it. It can be controlled. If I control where the show goes, I won't get the headache. But if I let you, the audience, take control and drag me down into this touching and patting and this, I think I'm going to wind up sick altogether. So I don't want to, please, I don't want to talk about that. I'd rather talk about, engines. Let me talk about engines for a minute. I have an engine story for those of you who are mechanically oriented. Last night after the show, I went over to my local marina, you know, boat marina, and a friend of mine was working on a boat in the dock on boat engines. He could hardly see, but the man is so, he's been doing it so many years. There were two old four-cylinder Volvo diesel engines in the back of his boat. I said, how the heck can you do this in the dark? He said, I can't really see, but I can do it with my hands. I said, what are you doing? He said, well, I took the engine apart. He said, and I found out the block was cracked. I said, oh, so you replaced the block? He said, no, he laughed. He said, I called a friend of mine who's a race car driver, and they told me put concrete into the engine block. I said, what? He laughed. He said, they all do it on racetracks, and they crack a block. I said, what, are you kidding me? He said, no, it's amazing. He said, we use a certain kind of concrete. You pull the head off, blah, 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 and you pour concrete into the engine block. And he said, so far, it's passed all the pressure tests. I said, well, amazing. An amazing story. I said, I got to tell my audience about that tomorrow. So if America now has a cracked engine block, if you want to use that analogy, what is the answer? To put a blockhead into the White House? I'll be right back.
Savage.
If somebody is a random screening, I just got randomly screened at the airport, whatever reason, my number seems to come up quite often. But if that, you know, happens, and either the imaging, okay, was one of the options, or, you know, the pat down. Let's just say I don't want either of them because of religious reasons, what happens to me?
So while I respect and we respect that person's beliefs, that person's not going to get on an airplane.
Okay. There will be no exceptions just because of religion. That's what that was.
Okay.
Okay. That was.
I hope that's true. I hope I don't read tomorrow that they caved into the wonderful group called CARE. I just hope to God they stand firm against any religious groups getting a weasel job. Now I want to talk about Sarah Palin. I have one word, mush. Sarah Palin is unelectable as president. She's a wonderful person. She's gutsy. She has good policies. That does not add up to a viable candidacy for the president of the United States. That's number one. Number two, given her years in entertainment, this is not an addition. This is a deficit. This would be like the character with the blackboards waking up one morning thinking, God, they really love me out there. And I know that the Lord wants me to do it. I prayed on this, and by golly, I'm going to run for the presidency. That's called egomania, narcissism. We don't need it. Thank you. Goodbye. Secondly, the reason John McCain lost the election was because of Sarah Palin. How many of you really understand what happened? Me? I'm Dr. Savage. I will explain to you what happened. John McCain's calling card was stability, strength, and a history in the Senate. Never mind the fact that he was also a man with a phenomenal war record. He survived 5-6 years in captivity. I don't diminish that. He was a bit of a doofus. He was a little bit of a repeat of Bush. But his number one calling card was stability and experience. In fact, they were using experience until he was undermined by his advisors who wanted him to lose. They set him up as a stalking horse to lose. And his rat advisors ratted him out and told him to get off the experience issue. And then they brought this inexperienced, unknown woman named Sarah Palin up, and people's mouths dropped. Sarah who? Are you crazy? It was his election to lose, and they brought in a woman who no one ever heard of, with no experience to speak of. She made a fool of herself with, I have foreign experience because across the Aleutians there's Russia. You forgot all of this? The country was stunned by it. And as a result, an unknown man from, we don't even know where, Indonesia, Kenya, won the election. So, now you're going to tell me all of a sudden, because Sarah Palin's a big star, and Sarah Palin's books have done well, and she's a great speaker, and she's been on Fox News, she's going to win against who? Let us say that the Democrats come to their senses, and they have a primary, and Hillary Clinton beats Obama in the primary. There's no question in my mind she's going to run. I'm not a betting man. I don't gamble at all, but I'd gamble on that one, that Hillary's going to do a primary run against Obama, and they're going to gladly elect her as the candidate. Now, can you imagine Hillary Clinton versus Sarah Palin, who wins that election? With all of this worldwide experience, never mind the baggage that Hillary has, she has plenty of it, plenty of it. But she has something Sarah Palin does not have, which is the fact that she has been inside the halls of power. She's been inside the presidency. She has been known. She's known by world leaders. What do you think all of this gallivanting around the world is as Secretary of State? Why did she leave her senatorial seat to become Secretary of State? Raised her profile, made her more internationally acceptable, made her a citizen of the world. Everything that we don't like. But nevertheless, a good deal of America likes that stuff. I think that in a head-to-head battle between Sarah Palin and Hillary, Hillary wins by 20 points. Chicago, Anthony, you're on the Savage Nation.
Mike, I think the very strengths that you're giving Hillary Clinton are the very weaknesses that would destroy her against Sarah Palin. Now, I'm not saying that I think that Sarah Palin can actually win the presidency, but I think her benefit would be that she would actually shake up the hornet's nest. I mean, this woman will get on the stage and she will speak her mind. In that way, other candidates are not going to be able to avoid certain questions that they normally would.
You mean as a candidate, but we're talking about winning the presidency. What good is a candidate who shakes up a hornet's nest and then you wind up with the King Hornet back in power?
Well, I'd rather have that than just have two individuals given the same promises every single election. At least with her, she will bring up borders and she will speak her mind about issues that many Americans feel strong about, opposed to the same old lower.
Well, I think she can do that in the forum that she has today. She's got a very powerful audience. She's on Fox News. She's everywhere. She certainly, her opinions are heard everywhere. I don't think that we need to sacrifice the presidency to Obama or to Hillary in order to have her run. There are far better candidates. We're way ahead of the curve here. But I'm talking about Palin because she came out and said, yes, she's basically running. That's what this is all, you know, what this has all been about. When she said, yes, I could beat him. I say mush. She said, I could beat him. Sarah Palin says she could beat Obama. An interview with Barbara Walters said she's seriously considering entering a race. Of course she is. Why shouldn't she be? She's been advised by people who are telling her she can win. She has good points. She has very great popularity. She can't win. Cannot win, in my opinion. Well, and go ahead.
I think if anything, the last election has taught us that stability and experience means nothing to the American voter today. I think it's about whether you can win over a crowd, whether you could talk about the issues that the people want to hear, and not just the same old rhetoric. Every election is the same thing, whether it's Democrats or Republicans. I mean, I really wish you would run, but I know you won't.
Well, let me ask you something. Have you ever heard Sarah Palin talk about illegal aliens once?
On her show, she kind of hinted towards a few things.
Oh, she hinted at it? Has she ever discussed where she stands on the illegal alien scourge in the United States of America? Answer, no. She's already moved to the center because the same advisors who destroyed McCain are already whispering in her ear.
Well, now, Mike, if she moves to the center, you're right. She's dead in the water. I mean, that's a given. She has to put her side. She has to put her focus outside the norm of the
We need a real conservative senator, okay, who has a high profile, who can win. The best conservative senator is a gentleman I admire greatly. I'm not sure he wants to run, nor that he could win. He's from Georgia, Senator DeMint. I don't think he wants to run, and I don't think he could win. However, he has all of the credentials that we need to be president of the United States, so I wouldn't rule him out either. He's from South Carolina, sorry.
Yeah, I wouldn't rule him out either as well, but the situation is that he just seems like, you know, maybe he'd get on there and he'd start doing the same thing. I think they need a new face to
Oh, my God. Well, hey, do you have a copy of Trickle Up Poverty, Anthony?
No, sir, I don't, but I do have...
You're getting a free copy for Thanksgiving. It's being sent out tomorrow, okay? Bring it to dinner and stuff your relatives with the truth. Stuff your relatives with the truth and trickle up poverty. Now, that's a good heading for that's a good book ad. Stuff yourself with the truth.
Savage.
I'm looking at the lay of the land now and trying to figure that out, if it's a good thing for the country, for the discourse, for my family, if it's a good thing.
If you ran for president, could you beat Barack Obama?
I believe so.
Well, I don't believe so, and I've said so, and that's all there is to it. And the rest will be history. Here's some very good news for the radical left in America. Here is some good news for the Islamic terrorists amongst you. Here's some good news for the red diaper dopa baby vermin in the United States of America. Here's news to pop the corks for all of the vermin in the ACLU who've worked so hard to destroy America. Terrorist acquitted of most charges in civilian court. The first Gitmo detainee to be tried in a civilian court was acquitted on Wednesday of all but one of more than 280 charges of conspiracy and murder in the 1998 terrorist attacks of the United States embassies in Nairobi, Kenya, and Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. This case has been seen as a test of Obama's goal of trying to detain these in federal court wherever feasible, and the result may again fuel debate over whether civilian courts are appropriate for trying terrorists. So they followed the liberal line. They took this murderer and put him into a civilian court. They shopped it to a vermin left-wing judge named Louis A. Kaplan, a red diaper doper baby at the federal district court, who went after the prosecution instead of the terrorist. Just last month, for example, on the eve of the trial, prosecutors suffered a major setback when the judge, Louis A. Kaplan, of federal district court, barred them from using an important witness against Mr. Galiani because the government had learned about the man through Galiani's interrogation while he was in CIA custody, where his lawyers said he was tortured. The witness would have testified that he had sold Mr. Galiani the large quantities of TNT used to blow up the embassy in Dar es Salaam, prosecutors told the judge, calling him a giant witness for the government. There were other things that Mr. Kaplan did to undermine the prosecution. So there it is. Judge Kaplan also issued two pretrial rulings that allowed Galani's, well, I don't even want to read it anymore. I'm nauseous from it. This is what we have in America today. We have boll weevils like Louis Kaplan in federal courthouses, at the Supreme Court level, at every level of the law. We have psychotic red diaper doper babies taking the side of murderers and terrorists. So there it is. There's your liberal view of a law. You should be cheering tonight that a man who blew up an embassy just got off the hook because of your friend Lewis Kaplan, the judge. The unexpected verdict by the six-man, six-woman jury came in the fifth day of deliberations and followed a four-week trial in which prosecutors built a circumstantial case to establish that Gilani had played a key logistical role in the preparations for the Tanzania attack. Up to me, I was president. Kaplan's thrown out of office and put into a psychiatric ward. In a time of terror, Lewis Kaplan goes into a nut house for this. But you ought to be thankful I'm only a talk show host. This is why America's finished. This is why our heart's been broken because of men like Judge Lewis Kaplan. But if you think Judge Lewis Kaplan is alone, you're wrong. Go into the newspaper rooms. 99% Lewis Kaplan's mentality. Go into Hollywood. 99% Lewis Kaplan's mentality. Larry David! Calling Larry David! Larry David in a robe. The stench from the bench is making me clench. So there it is. That's your story for the day. You liberals won a big victory today. This is a huge victory for human rights and civil rights. My only hope is that the bomb isn't put in your mother's house. My only hope is that the next bomb put in this country isn't put in your mother's house. You psychotics, you. I'm taking a break early. Go ahead. Take it out. Just before the break, we had breaking news for you on the Savage Nation. A terrorist was acquitted of most charges in a civilian court because it was presided over by a radical left-wing judge named Lewis A. Kaplan, a lifetime brainwashed red diaper dopa baby, in my opinion. The judge refused to permit the prosecutors to use an important witness who would have testified that the gentleman on trial, bought large quantities of TNT from him that were used to blow up the embassy in Dar es Salaam. Prosecutors said the judge got rid of a giant witness for the government. So there it is. There's your Lewis A. Kaplan. There's your civil rightarians. There's the American left at work. Florida Ray, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I'm rather torn with this. I consider myself, you know, an ultra-conservative.
Ray, hold on. First of all, I want to hear what you say, but you're sounding like you're inside a can. Are you on a cell phone?
I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Well, go ahead. Talk. 1-800-449-8255. Houston, Texas. Jack, go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage.
Yes.
I'm a Houston liberal from New York. Actually, a Houston conservative from a New York liberal family. I just can't understand. The bombing was in Beirut, not even on U.S. territory.
The bombing was in 1998 of the U.S. embassies in Nairobi, Kenya, and Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. So you're saying, why was he tried in New York to begin with, right?
Are we going to try every terrorist?
Yes, that's what Obama and Eric Holder want. They would like to try terrorists in New York City to show that they have the ultimate power to release them. They enjoy releasing terrorists. It gives them a sense of empowerment. Look, you're trying to get me to explain to you the mind of a psychotic man. Liberalism is a mental disorder. You know that, Jack, coming from a liberal family. You know that most of them are nuts.
I've listened to you for years. I know that.
Jack, how many of your liberal relatives in New York are on medication, psychotic, antipsychotic or antidepressant medication? What percentage?
100%. I've got to go up there for Thanksgiving. It's going to be.
Jack, I know what I am talking about. I know it for a fact. Because I know a certain First Amendment attorney who always takes the side of communists and terrorists. I know he's a lifetime user of antidepressants. I will never mention his name. Every one of them that I've gotten to know is sick in the head. Every last one of them hates themselves. Every last one of them is destroying America.
I think I know who you mean. He wears glasses.
Well, they all wear glasses. Jack, how did you survive a liberal family? How did you become a conservative?
Boy, I had to move to Houston.
You mean you moved to a conservative? You moved away. You moved to get away from the lunatics.
Yes.
Well, how do you feel today hearing that the lunatic left moved this terrorist into a civilian court and Judge Lewis Kaplan basically threw the case and dismissed the most of the charges against him?
Just don't know what this world is coming to. I'm 63. When I grew up, the world was so much different.
Yeah, world was so much different. But isn't it a better world today that it's diverse? Isn't this diverse world a better world? Where you can't go out of your house today without fear of getting run over, you're getting shot to death by an illegal alien gangbanger?
Not in my book, and not in your book.
Not in my book either. Well, I'm sending you a gift for Thanksgiving. Stuff yourself with the truth. Trickle up poverty, Jack. It's a heartbreaking story. Yeah, I can't let it get to me. Obama's war on the military and on national security, read all about it. Read all about what they've done to our courts. Read how they've tried to destroy us at every level. The health scare fraud. Read about nightmare. Read about it. We're going to look up a little background on old Louis. Did you find it yet, Phil? Nothing yet? How? Here it is. Louis A. Kaplan, 1944, is a United States District Judge for the Southern District of New York. He was nominated by President Bill Clinton on May 5, 1994, to a seat vacated by Gerard Lewis Gottel. He was confirmed by the U.S. Senate in 94. Kaplan was born in Staten Island, New York. He received an A.B. from the University of Rochester and a J.D. from Harvard. So right away, you know he's a red diaper doper baby. Anyone who goes to Harvard Law School comes out with half a mind. And then you read the private practice in New York, special master, U.S. District, Southern. Kaplan is presiding over the first case where charges against the Guantanamo captive are laid in a civilian court. So there it is. You know what he did already. That's it. That's the judge already. So you had a terrorist transferred from a military tribunal, from a military setting, to a civilian justice system. And now old Louis Kaplan, red diaper dopa baby judge, in my opinion, throws the case, letting the terrorist off on most of the charges. Now, who is Louis Kaplan? You want to hear what else he has done? Working in New York City, Kaplan had been the judge in a number of federal racketeering cases involving mafia members. In April 2010, Judge Kaplan was assigned to preside over the cases of 14 Gambino crime family members arrested on charges, among others, of blah, blah, blah. Kaplan has presided over a number of notorious cases at the district level, including, and I don't want to name them because you wouldn't know what they are, I remember Judge Kaplan's rulings with regard to organized crime. Beowulf, I'd like you to research it for me. If I'm not mistaken, he also gave a walk to a number of organized criminal figures a while ago. What's the good of stuffing yourself with the truth? What is the good of reading the Bible where it says, know the truth and the truth shall set you free, when you have people like this in the courts? 1-800-449-8255. I don't want to get depressed. I was happy when I came in today. And now I'm unhappy. I'm not depressed. I don't get depressed. I get anguished. I don't use the word depressed. I don't let it even enter my vocabulary. That's a weakling's word. You talk about the TSA as an obtrusive element in our society. How about the social control of medication? You know, years ago, I was in graduate school. I have a couple of degrees along the way, one of which is in medical anthropology. Then a PhD years later. But in medical anthropology, I remember studying how social control was initiated upon people using witchcraft in primitive societies. Witchcraft was part of a method of social control of primitive societies. Witchcraft. To me, psychiatry and medications of this nature are the equivalent of witchcraft and are being used as forms of social control over our society. So whereas in the history of humanity, there have always been the vicissitudes of existence where people had to eat dandelions for weeks on end. Some didn't go to the government for help. and they watched babies die and starve to death, and they watched their grandfather die in a house that froze to death. No one got depressed. If they did, they didn't call it depression. They went on with their life. They'd go to a schmuck doctor and get a medication every time they didn't feel good. They went on with their life. They just made themselves stronger and harder, like me, like people listening to this show, who know what it is to work for a living and to make a living, a life for themselves, despite the hardships and the things people throw in their way. So every time I need medication, I'm anguished and upset. I'm unhappy. I don't need medication. You need medication? You read a story like this? It makes me even angrier. My time for a break, did I run through a break? I don't even know what time it is. I took it, now I have to talk more. I would have been a perfect spot to take a break. Oh, give me some music. Give me some traveling music as I cool down. I got to cool the truck down. I got to cool down. Let her, you know, cool her down. I feel like a runaway 6-wheeler, 18-wheeler running down the Highway 80 out of the Sierra Nevada. I got to pull into a sand pit. You know what? Tonight will come. I'll still be unhappy and wanting to get even, full of rage and vengeance. I'd still like to try Lewis Kaplan for sedition. I'd still like you to remember it was Bill Clinton's damage to America that you just saw today. Bill Clinton planted many atomic bombs throughout the judiciary of the United States of America. One of them just went off. Does that work for you? One of his left-wing bombs just went off. How do you feel about that today? Or do you want to talk about Pat Downs and Sarah Palin? Palm Beach, Jim, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I can't believe nobody's brought it up, but I have a great job for Sarah Palin because I, too, believe she will be a detriment to the Republican Party and the Tea Party. Seeing as how Michael Steele's term's up and he's not that great of a speaker anyway, Sarah Palin needs his job. She can excite the party, excite the country with her energy. That's what she needs to do, and keep her out of the White House.
Well, if she really cared about the country, as they all say they do, the minute I heard that, I knew she was just another politician out for the power and the glory. She has to see whether it's good for the country and it's good for her family. I've heard that a few thousand times before, haven't you?
Well, exactly, and she had to think about it. It's like when you played that little bit of 20 minutes ago when Barbara Walters said, do you think you can beat Obama? She should have said yes.
Yeah, she hesitated.
You only got to think about
it. She hesitated. The old lady got the best of her. She got the best of her in the draw out, in the, you know, the gun draw. She lost that one right away. Barbara Walters pulled the pistol faster.
The old
Barbara Walters outsmarted Palin. Palin was not ready for the question, which is shocking. She didn't say, are you going to run? She was ready for that one. She said, can you beat him? And Sarah Palin's answer was, I think so. But, you know, look, the fact of the matter is, Sarah Palin shouldn't even be a discussion point today. Again, it's about a person. What does she stand for should be the issue. What are her policies should be the issue. That's really the issue. But most importantly, can she win? But you're right. I mean, you really are right. If she really cared about the country, she'd run to be the chairman of the RNC, correct? As a fundraiser and as a cheerleader, correct?
Yeah, I firmly believe that.
Okay, I'm giving you something to stuff yourself with the truth with. What is the name of it?
Trickle-up poverty.
You win it. That's right. Instead of stuffing for the bird, I'm giving you stuff to stuff your brain with the truth. Austin, Texas. Dan, you're on the Savage Nation. Welcome to the program. What line is that? I can't even see. I'm so enraged. Go ahead. Dan, what's on your mind?
Well, this business with Judge Kaplan gets back to your statement that of all the things you've said, Michael, nothing has been more true than liberalism is a mental disorder, because Rahm Emanuel and Eric Holder and the rest of those people in the White House loop that said, well, let's take these trials out of Guantanamo Bay and put them up
right
in New York City,
right?
Because we'll have a better... Well, I couldn't figure out one reason why they wanted to do that, but it's because they're mentally disordered.
I believe so. There's no other explanation for liberalism of this nature. You know, I could bring up some elements of religion and race in here, which will show even further the insanity of liberalism. When you consider that, when you consider the credo of radical Islam is to kill Jews, you know that, don't you?
Yes, of course.
All right, let's get cut to the chase here. One of the credos of radical Islam is to annihilate Jews from the planet. They have said it over and over again. They've called Jews every name under the sun. They don't consider Jews human beings. They hate Christians, but not as badly as they hate Jews. They're psychotic Nazis. Why is it that Jewish liberals have nothing but sympathy for the devil? Why is that?
I have never, ever understood that. It's just, I have no explanation. I'm a rational person. I look for rational explanations.
In other words, the very terrorist that Kaplan released would gladly throw him down a well after cutting his head off and chanting.
Exactly, and
yet Kaplan went out of his way to bend over backwards. There's a reason for it. In the insanity, in their own mind, there's a reason. And that reason is that a guy like Kaplan, the religion for a guy like Kaplan is liberalism. It's not Christianity, it's not Judaism. It's liberalism. That's their religion. And you have to understand the doxies that they practice. They're orthodox liberals, and they practice the doxies as efficiently as radical religionists practice their religion. They don't care what the truth is. They don't even care what the results are. All they care about is that they're practicing their religion, Dan.
Well, you see the outcome.
Yeah, I see the truth, and I don't wait. I see the truth and talk. God sees the truth and waits. That's why I'm only a mere mortal.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I'm looking at the lay of the land now and trying to figure that out, if it's a good thing for the country, for the discourse, for my family, if it's a good thing.
If you ran for president, could you beat Barack Obama?
I believe so.
Pleased to meet you. Hope you get my name. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The sparks are flying.
Nature of my name.
The sparks are flying. So we've gone from love pats at the airport. Oh, who can remember? I can't even form words. I'm almost tongue-tied from what Lewis Kaplan did. We're not talking about Kaplan's review series either. A federal judge just dismissed all charges except one minor one against an arch-terrorist who has been brought in from Guantanamo to be tried in a civilian court in New York. He threw it all out, basically. He was appointed by Bill Clinton, by the way. So we were getting very, I got very angry over that. It just upset the hell out of me. Heck out of me, whatever. You know, at the end of the show, the night will fall, the curtain will fall, the mic goes off. I put the chain on my dog. I'll take him for a walk. I'll go to dinner with a couple of friends. You know, maybe I'll have a drink tonight. Maybe I won't. You'll say, well, you'll forget it. I won't forget it. I will not forget what this judge did today. It's one of the gravest attacks upon our freedom I've ever seen. Everything that the liberals argued for, civil rights, human rights, humanity, this and that, has just been shown for what it is, insanity, total insanity. The judge would not even permit the key witness against this terrorist to be admitted to the court. The man who sold him the TNT that was used to blow up the U.S. embassy, he did not admit it into court because the protocols of liberalism must be followed at all costs. The religion of liberalism, with all of its doxies, must be adhered to at the risk of expulsion from the Church of Liberalism. And so therefore, the judge could care less about the truth. The judge could care less about justice. This is all my opinion, of course. Instead, the judge cared only about his standing within the Church of Liberalism. And so he was a good boy. He did what the freaks in the ACLU and the other creatures in the sideshow of American society would approve of. And consequently, the terrorist is laughing all the way to the TNT bank. Let's go to the callers and see what you think. How do you feel about the arch terrorist being let off the hook by Judge Lewis Kaplan today, except for one minor charge? Kevin in New York, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's your reaction to this judge?
Thank you. Well, I'm upset, but there may be a silver lining to this judge.
What is it?
That this man will be deported back to Tanzania, I believe, where they...
Well, I don't know. You mean now that he'll be released, he'll be sent back to his homeland?
Right, where they are much more liberal in what I like to call the post-abortion penalty.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. A full-term abortion when you're 42.
Well, it's just we missed you the first time, but we got you now.
I don't know. I don't know. This is state-sponsored support of terrorism. How could a judge do this without understanding what he actually did? Do you think he actually knows what he just did?
Well, following the rules, he probably does know what he did. You know, as long as it's not affecting him or his people, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that happened elsewhere, even though the embassy is American territory. It was in another country.
Right.
And, of course, the CIA tortures everybody for the information that they want. So, of course, everything that they're told is illegal.
Well, that's what the judge thinks.
Exactly.
Of course, the judge doesn't care about the individuals who the man blew up with the TNT, does he?
No.
He doesn't think about the torture that was imposed upon them by the explosion. All he cares about is the finer points of liberal law.
Right. And again, though, most of the people that were injured and died were Tanzanians themselves.
So you're to be serious, you believe that he'll be deported back to his homeland and he'll be treated accordingly?
I believe so. I don't think...
My suspicion is he will be sent back to Guantanamo and remain in military custody for a very long period of time. There's something else going on here because they left one charge remaining, and I think he's going to be remanded back to Guantanamo. I have a feeling that's what's going to happen.
Chances are the charge that's remaining is minor, that he could get probation for.
Well, we know he'll be given a hero's welcome back at Guantanamo. He'll get high fives from the other terrorists. Did you read what Britain did yesterday with terrorists? They gave them millions of dollars for so-called torture?
Yes, I saw that. But, of course, we do the same types of things. Essex County, I think, in New York, paid a Muslim woman something like $25,000. She's a correction officer. And
yeah.
she wasn't allowed to wear her habib.
Wait, as a toll taker?
No, as a prison guard.
Oh.
And she wasn't allowed to wear the headdress because that was a safety issue.
Uh-huh.
And she went to court and they won because it was a religious, they were denying her.
So in other words, if a prisoner grabs her by the habib and pulls her into a cell, she can then sue the other way and say that it was an unsafe working environment?
That's very possible that's what she would do, say that they never should have let me in.
Well, boy, oh boy. You see, the liberal lawyers have the system knocked, don't they? They have it wired.
Apparently.
Well, Kevin, I'll tell you what. Let me ask you something. If I say to you, I'm going to send you a gift where you can stuff your brain with the truth, what's the name of the book?
Trickle Up Poverty.
You just want it for Thanksgiving. It's better than bread stuffing. I think I'm going to have some of that cracker stuffing tonight. Even though Richie's not there, I think I'm going to have to try a repeat. Down by the water. How does this country survive? For years I would ask, after the Warren Court in the 60s, how can America survive the hippies, the drug addicts, the communists, the socialists, the anarchists? And the answer is, we can't. You know, when I saw all this coming apart, I was a pretty young guy. I was a graduate student at the University of California at Berkeley, and I used to watch with amazement that if a bum, a homeless bum, fell in the street or laid down in the street, a bum, a filthy, degenerate, alcoholic street bum, would lay in the gutter. Instead of grabbing him by the neck and giving him a bath and taking him off to a work camp and give him some education, you know, I would see an EMT truck show up, a fire truck, a police car, social workers. They'd all get down on their hands and knees and, "How are you, Mr. Smith? How do you feel today? Are you okay, Mr. Smith?" Mr. Smith would laugh at them. Mr. Smith must have cost $100,000 for the services that the city of Berkeley provided for a bum in the gutter. And I would say to myself, where does the money come from? How can a city survive? Well, you know, I see things ahead of the curve. I see things long before other people see them, which is why my books are bestsellers, why my radio show is a hit for all of these years. Do I have the stamina to continue this? Yes, I hope so. It's all up to the man upstairs anyway. It's not up to me. He's blessed me with a peasant's constitution, so I can do this every day. Ordinarily, a man of my age is already shot for 20 years. He's got nothing left in him. I see guys 30, they don't have my energy. So I've been blessed. But, you know, it could end in a breath. I understand that as well. But when I see a case like this, it gives me the motivation to get up for my country tomorrow with increased vigor. It gives me the motivation to continue writing my books, to try to convert people over to the sense of survival. You know, to me, it's not even about sanity versus insanity. It's about survival versus suicidal. Survival versus suicidal. To me, extreme liberalism is a path not to perdition, but a path to extinction. Think about that. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is none other than the Savage Nation, Flap Less, Coast More. That's my new motto, Flap Less, Coast More. My mind is already somewhere else. I'm already in another world. After this Lewis Kaplan outburst, it was almost like a Petite Mal episode. I got so angry, my dog ran out of the room. Teddy is the official, he sits under my desk or stays next to me with a thing. He has a blanket he loves, a furry blanket that looks like just a blanket. And he bites it and lays on it, rolls on it, does other things to it. I can't mention, it's a family show. So I've named the blanket Betty the Blanket. Normally he listens to the show and nothing bothers him. When I let out that outburst about Judge Kaplan, the dog jumped and looked at me, ran out of the room. It's amazing. I mean, he's like a bellwether of my emotions. Maybe that was good. Maybe I got rid of a lot of like electricity in me. Sometimes I wonder how I go on the stress I'm under. And then, you know, could I tell you something? I got to talk to my audience like I know you and we're on a telephone. This is what makes the show different anyway. When I started in this business, I was 50 years of age. I don't think you know this. I had other careers. I wanted to retire. I had enough of a number of things. Anyway, by sheer fortitude and luck, or shall I say fate, I wound up in radio. Local station, now it's 310 stations, and it's 16, 17 years later. So it's the rest is history, as they say. When I went into this business, I weighed 20 pounds less. I was on a much different diet. I was much more as leaner. Blah, blah, blah. Remember, my degree is in human nutrition long before people knew what the words were. And I did practice what I preached. I still try to, but I don't really adhere to it as much as I did. I said to myself, this is a trade-off going into radio. The tension is overwhelming. My diet changed. I started eating greasy Chinese food again for lunch. I used to do the show without lunch because I know, like, hunger. Hemingway had taught me, I met him personally, no. Hemingway taught me that the only way to look at great art is going into a museum in a near-starvation state. He's absolutely right. Artists should not eat a lot before they paint or before they work. Your mind is sharper when you're hungry. Everything's sharper. So I used to do this without lunch. Then I decided, you know what, I'm more like an opera singer than I am like an artist in that sense, and I need to fuel the furnace. So I would eat a big lunch, right? So things changed. I put on weight because I'm barrel-chested, and I need the energy. But I knew there was a trade-off. I said to myself, it's probably going to kill me much younger than if I didn't go into radio. And I said, wait a minute. As the years went on and I still didn't drop dead from stress, which again, I have to say my mea culpa. I said, you know, God knows tomorrow. I said to myself, a lot of my friends, I don't have many, would say to me, you know what? You're wrong. It's the opposite that's true. Because you get to release your feelings on the air, you're going to live longer, not shorter, even though it's a high stress job. I mean, because the average person would think this would kill them. I have a few people you know, close to my age who say, how the heck do you do this every day? How do you do a show every day? Where do you get the stamina from? Where do you get the ability to do this 20 hours a day, reading the news, absorbing all day long, and then coming out with a cohesive, cogent exposition of what you have seen? How do you do it? Well, I don't have the answer exactly. I'm not here to, like, you know, put a halo on my head. But what I'm saying is maybe such an electrical storm as I had in the last hour about Judge Kaplan releasing the terrorist from dismissing most of the charges, maybe that release is sort of a release that's healthy. You probably would say, well, no, stress is bad, and the release is the opposite of the good hormones in your body, and it should kill you. Well, I'm not so sure that popular psychology has much meaning. All the years I would hear, don't do stress, and people without stress, I don't believe it. I've seen people with low stress lives who blow up much earlier in life. They die early. No stress, they don't know what to do with themselves. I watched a movie last night on another note, or almost similar to this note, called Savage something or other. It was not about me, of course. I forget I was on last night, a guy who's inherited the Bakelite fortune. He was the grandson of the Bakelite fortune. Julianne Moore was the actress who married the father. I can't find it. Savage something. Savage Grace, okay. I'm a big movie watcher. So it's about the grandson of the man who invented Bakelite, one of the first plastics, who made a fortune in the business. And then the grandson is a nothing, a do-nothing, just inherited the money. And, you know, so he's married to an actress. Then he ditches the actress for his son's girlfriend, a young Spanish girl in her 20s when he's like 55. The son is either gay or a bisexual. You don't really know. But it's all about their lives in Mallorca, in London, in Paris. It's a beautiful film. It's beautifully done. The settings are amazing. Costumes are beautiful. The kid who plays the son is really good. You start to hate him because he's such a limpy guy who does nothing. You feel like grabbing him and saying, hey, kid, you know what I mean? Go get a job. Go work at Wendy's, you little jerk. Do something. The point I'm making is that he does nothing his entire life. He's an inheritance case. As a result, drugs, constantly smoking marijuana. That was the drug. You think it's good for you? You're wrong, you idiots, you. It weakens you. It makes you a weak person, weaker than you already are. It weakens you. It softens you up for a takeover by anybody and everything. It makes you a dope. That's why they call it dope. Who smokes dope all over the world but losers? So anyway, it's about the lifestyle of the inheritance cases. And as I say, who could live that life? I can't live that life. What, I'm going to go to an elegant lunch? That's my idea? Put on a $5,000 suit and go to an elegant lunch? That's my idea of a day? No wonder the kid comes home and gets stoned and goes to sleep. He hates himself. So what's more high stress, I say to myself? The life I lead, which is like a monk. It's like a monk's life to a great extent. Totally dedicated to you, my audience. Addicted to the microphone. Or is it that I want to now, what, lead that life of dissipation and elegance? For what reason? Why would I want that? I say to myself as I pick up the microphone every day and talk to you. Anyway, pardon me for the diversion from the news, views, and reviews on the Savage Nation. It's just amusing. It's a personal show. So once in a while, the man is going to step forward from the microphone. In the interim, there's some very important messages coming up. Listen carefully.
Savage.
Now, without further ado, Michael Savage, the host of one of the most popular radio shows in the United States, a radio giant and the author of so many best-selling books, including the huge smash, Trickle-Up Poverty, Stopping Obama's Attack on Our Borders, Economy, and Security, which has been a wild bestseller, just wild over the last month or so. He joins us now. Michael.
Yes.
Well, what do you think?
Laura, what an introduction. So an Animal Farm under Obama and Janet Napolitano, some animals are more equal than others, huh?
what is going on here? I was actually joking yesterday that we should all wear hijabs.
No, I've decided to announce this on your show formally. This will be the first announcements. Naked X-ray pictures of Michael Savage are available online at only 10 cents a piece.
Oh, good. There's four people now apparently signed up to watch these.
apparently somebody got them from the TSA. My God, and the world has not stopped shaking since. Of course we knew this would happen. There were 113 exemptions to Obamacare. Anyone who could buy a lobbyist, right, could get an exemption. Mm-hmm. So now anyone who could claim a religious exemption can avoid going through the TSA. Only the dumb Christian has to go through it and be strip searched like filthy nuns who might be terrorists. You understand how it works when you hate Christians and you hate America? This is crazy. Total insanity. But what do we expect from Janet Napolitano? The woman is incompetent and totally over our head.
Hey, Michael, what do you make of this this sense, though, that this is really about domination? I mean, you get the sense that this is a slow numbing of the American people to government control and subjugation. I know that sounds a little bit wild to say it that way, but when you look at the intrusiveness of the pat-downs, if you opt out of the backscatter X-ray, which I will, but the intrusiveness of the pat-down, I mean, it's like spread them against the car like it's an episode of Cops or something.
Laura, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I started complaining about this on my show. People know I hate flying because of this. I said all the people I've worked all my life to move away from, get away from, never see in restaurants, now have the opportunity to frisk me in the groin. I started that 3 years ago because I said every time I fly, there they are, the people I've worked my whole life to avoid, they're now frisking me. I'm serious. I mean, they make you hold your hands up, right? And they spread your legs. It is disgusting. And there's no excuse for it. However, Laura, here's the problem.
Yeah.
You do know who owns the company that provided the X-ray machines at the airports,
L2,
right?
The L2 company and also Rapiscan, those two companies. But
who's involved with Rapiscan?
Tell us.
Michael Chertoff.
Oh, the old Homeland Security guy. I know
Director
Chertoff a little
under
bit.
Under George W. Bush, Michael Chertoff recommended the Rapiscan machines, left government, went to work for Rapiscan. So there's a lot of money at stake here. And the question is this, Laura, let's not get carried away. If the Muslim terrorists, and I'm very specific in what I say, the Islamic fascists, if you prefer, put it that way, who would do us harm at an airport, blow up an airline or whatever, they hear this uproar. Don't you think they're cheering? What are we going to do about them? They've won. There's no question Osama bin Laden has won, that we're frisking nuns and people in wheelchairs. I do know that there's a solution coming out of Israel. Have you heard about the lead-lined chamber they're using at airports?
Is this the thing where they put you in a small room and then they detonate any explosive on your body? Is that true?
It's a lead chamber. Everyone has to walk through the lead chamber, no x-rays. It sniffs for explosives, and if they're in there, they detonate them, and they go off, and the person is killed. And then there's an announcement over the PSA and says there is now a seat available on a flight to New York. That's what I hear is coming out of Israel. Now, of course, it's a joke, but what is the solution then? We do have people who want to hurt us. How would you do it? I don't have an answer for this.
Well, I know that this Israeli security expert we had on late last week, he went through a number of things that are sensible, not as expensive, certainly not as intrusive, and that work really well for places like Israel and Istanbul and, you know, obviously the Tel Aviv airport. And he said there's just the thing about this is that it would be one thing if this stuff worked, if this was really effective, cost effective, and the proper way of going about this, but it's just not the right way to go about it. And what happened, I think, Michael, is you're right. There was the revolving door of money and influence with Chertoff, and he went to go work with this company. He had the name, he had the recognition, he had the contacts, and so next thing you know, all these senators, Rapiscan's a great thing. Oh, let's throw $150 million at this idea because then people will think they're safe on airplanes. Duh. And then the sheep will just go along with it until they find out, wait a second, I opt out, and suddenly it's a, you know, this is a, you know, parallel parking situation. I mean, it's a disaster.
I think the problem here is Janet Napolitano herself. And that is because she has tendencies towards violating the law. What do I mean by that? The people of Arizona, as we all know, voted to stop the flood of drugs and illegal aliens and crime in Arizona. They were perfectly within their constitutional rights to do so. She attacked the governor of Arizona, as we all know. She attacked the people. She attacked the very ballot itself and said, no, we will support illegal aliens. We will support the government of Mexico. So right from the get-go, this administration has been sort of on the side of the opposition. And therefore, when you look at a situation like this with airport security, they're taking the side of totalitarianism rather than safety. And remember what old Ben Franklin wrote. Those who would seek a little security and give up a little liberty wind up with neither. Remember that one?
Yes, of course.
Here we are. So I hate to bring it around to my book, but I have an entire chapter on... I'm Janet Napolitano in Circle of Poverty.
Yeah, look, the revolving door of book plugging. That's all right. Maybe your book is an important book.
What can I do?
No, it's an important book.
Laura, I have the references. The little dictatorship that we see growing in America is not by accident, to go back to your original question. I believe, and you may not agree with me because I realize you're more polite than I am, and that's a compliment, by the way.
Thanks.
That the old saying, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely, applies more to this administration. They're intoxicated with power. They're drunk on power. Nancy Pelosi has called those in her own party who do not want her to be the leader of the party again irritants. Did you read that? Can you believe this person?
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, that's your neck of the woods there in San Francisco. She's representing someone there.
They're all despots. Everyone the man has hired has dictatorial tendencies. They want to enact total power on everybody. And when it comes down to the airport situation, we're in a conundrum because I don't know the answer. Sure, I don't like the frisking. And sure, I don't want to be x-rayed. Worse than a... By the way, what's the R level of the x-ray machines compared to a dental x-ray? Does anyone actually know what the dosage is?
Well, first of all, the government, including Janet Napolitano, claimed that the radiation scan was only going to be as much as 2 or 3 minutes actually in the air because we're subjected to radiation in flight as well. But then, of course,
that.
This physicist at University of Arizona, Maddie, I think, a very prominent physicist who actually examined the images and then did the algorithm to see how much radiation we were subjected to, said it's at least 20 times that amount. So if one person who's one of the most respected physicists in the United States says it's at least 20 times that amount, I would say we should not be doing this until we get an answer. Because as someone as a cancer thriver, I don't want to be subjected to any more radiation than is absolutely necessary.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, I go to the dentist and I say to them, I don't even want a dental x-ray. And all the dentists say is, oh, it's as safe as sitting in the sun for 10 minutes. And I say, but I don't even sit in the sun for 1 minute. So... Yeah, at a certain stage of your life, you're supposed to avoid any exposure to radiation, no matter how minor, because it's collective. It's not dissipated in your waste products. So therefore, any amount is no good.
I don't trust the answers we're getting. I don't mean to sound conspiratorial, and I'm not a conspiratorial person, but I do think there's something to this moment of subjugation that the passenger feels, the law-abiding American citizen feels when they are subjected to this intrusive, groin-feeling search. And then we're told that if you're a Muslim and you have an association with care or something, then apparently you're going to get, looks like, special treatment. So,
that's crazy.
They can't do it.
Laura, again, when Obamacare came out, we found that there were loopholes for certain religious groups. I believe it was
with us. And in the book, Trickle Up Poverty, there is a terrific chapter on the illegal immigration issue. The in-state tuition ruling yesterday from the California Supreme Court, Michael, you live in the Bay Area, San Francisco. You see this ruling come down, and you think to yourself, I guess California just wants to go totally bankrupt.
This is all a result of Obama. He took the former head of La Raza, Cecilia Munoz, into the White House almost within the first month of his regime. Munoz is a radical activist for La Raza, which means the race, which unto itself should be a giveaway. And Micha, these are subversive organizations. It's the subversive base of a Chicano leftist takeover. that child that we that you just played from El Salvador is a poor brainwashed communist. She doesn't even know her rhetoric is that of a brainwashed communist. All you got to do is ask yourself is, how does El Salvador treat illegal aliens? How does Mexico treat illegal aliens from Guatemala, by the way? They don't give them in-state tuition. They give them a one-way ticket to the slammer or throw them out of the country. We are the stupidest nation on earth to put up with the cost of illegal aliens. We are broke as a nation. The criminality alone should be an indicator. But apparently the government is on the side of the foreign government that is flooding this country with the members of La Raza. You know the whole story. Laura, one thing people don't know is that 2 years ago I was the first victim again of this subversive action, these subversive actions, when I stood up and talked against this DREAM Act. They called me every name under the sun. They picketed the radio station I was on in San Francisco. They called me every dictator's name, fascist this, fascist that. It was not La Raza behind it. It was, you're not going to, well, you'll believe it. It was white communist lawyers pulling the strings, advising them every step of the way. Laura, you know.
It's white guilt.
This is an axis that runs all the way through the ACLU. And this is just the beginning of what's coming, unless the American people say, throw the bums out, which we tried to do last 2 weeks ago, didn't we?
Well, Michael, you should be aware of this. I know you already have Barack Obama's new book, Of Thee I Sing, A Letter to My Daughters. And in the book, it's like a little children's book. And here's part of the book. There's no page numbers, which I find interesting, but a man named Cesar Chavez showed farm workers their own power when they felt they had none. The people were poor but worked hard and loved the land. Cesar picketed, prayed, and talked. Si se puede, Cesar said. Yes, you can. This is in a children's book. They are indoctrinating the youngest among us in this open borders, you know, Cesar Chavez way of looking at the world where America's the aggressor. It just never ceases to amaze me.
This is how countries are overthrown from within. Obama the destroyer is behind it. Obama the pan-Leninist is behind this. Make no mistake about it, the country is under siege, and we the people, we the American people, must stand up to the siege mentality, period.
Michael Savage, The Savage Nation, the book. It's our featured selection, Trickle Up Poverty. It's an empowering and a sobering message all in one book. It's our featured selection. Michael, thanks for joining us. Say hi to Nancy Pelosi and all of our friends at Pete's Coffee.
I'm having dinner with Laura. Thanks for letting me be on the Laura Ingraham Show.
Absolutely. God bless.
Savage.
He says that he still believes in comprehensive immigration reform, but that he does understand that in the lame duck session, he will be for a down payment towards comprehensive immigration reform and will be focusing entirely on the DREAM Act. The DREAM Act is but one component of a broad series of measures to bring about comprehensive immigration reform. We have border patrol issues, we have internal security issues in terms of who can get a job, the biometric card, how many people can come on H-1B visas to come and join different industries. There's all kinds of different parts of it, but this will not affect.
So this is a radical Luis Gutierrez, a congressman on the DREAM Act, and he wants the president to expend whatever's left of his political capital by catering to La Raza and the radical, the radical left wing here. And frankly, I don't think that this is going to fly. I hope it doesn't. But listen to clip 11 where he says that the illegal aliens are your brothers and sisters. Tell me what you think of this one.
These are your brothers, your cousins, your nephews. These are part of your family. These are your co-workers, the kids that are going to school with you. You care about them immensely. It would be really great because it's really one family of people that are out there. They came as children. We shouldn't hold children responsible for the actions of adults.
We shouldn't hold children responsible for the actions of adults. So Gutierrez now acknowledges that the parents committed a crime by coming here illegally. So at least we got him to admit that the parents of the illegal aliens committed a crime by breaking into America. And so now we can have a very rational discussion as to whether they should be granted in-state tuition, even though they're children of illegal aliens. Well, I would ask you what you think. Should they get the same tuition as you do as an American citizen? Should they be granted in-state tuition when the universities are going broke? When you are struggling to send your children to college, should they be given the same tuition when they're not really a member of the state in that regard? They're illegal aliens. So the DREAM Act is a misnomer. Sure, it's a dream. Of course it's a dream. It's a dream to break into a nation, live off the fat of the land, and then see your children get a college education virtually for free. It's a great opportunity for this. Gutierrez says that they have broad business support. The military is for it. He says that Rupert Murdoch of Fox News is for it. Listen to clip 8 now. This is interesting.
What it is the opportunity to do something in which there were 11 co-sponsors, Republican senator co-sponsors. There's a lot of consensus. Our military brass wants, as you know, Rupert Murdoch, Uncle Rupert, as he's commonly known, affectionately known in Fox News Network.
We call him Mr. Murdoch this. Around here, but please,
okay,
continue.
Well, but you know what I'm saying? He's for it.
Well, that's great. So all the big businessmen are for it. And big military is for it. Big universities are for it. Big academia is for it. Big news is for it. But are the people for it, Louis? Pardon me for such a colloquial expression of my use of your name, Louis Gutierrez, on the DREAM Act. The question is not what big business or big academia wants or what big left-wing lobbyists want. The question is, what do the people want? There was just a tidal wave in the United States of America where 60 of the left-wing congressmen were thrown out of office precisely because they don't care about the people, precisely because the Democrats did exactly what you're asking them to do now, which is railroad measures through that are unpopular and against the will of the people. So now you're asking the Democrat Party to expend even more of its capital on an issue as marginal as this to most American people. It is not marginal to the illegal community. It is not marginal to the illegal Hispanic community in particular. It's not marginal to the left-wing boll weevils in the country. It's very much front and center to them. And they, of course, would like to see this happen. But the question is, in a participatory democracy, Louis, who should prevail here? You and the special interests? You and the illegal alien interests? Or the American people? I would say that if this were put to a vote, Louis, if the vote were put out there and the people of America were saying, were asked, should the children of illegal aliens be allowed to have in-state tuition or should they be paying out-of-state tuition? I'm pretty sure, Louis, that the vote would be very, very much in the favor of out-of-state tuition fees rather than in-state tuitions. But then again, the left wing has not cared very much about ballot initiatives unless they're in their favor, nor what the people think. And so, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, I rest my case. Although the Democrats just got a real shellacking, apparently the radical left within the Democrat Party has learned nothing from it. Ms. Pelosi with the big whip has again forced her will upon the so-called blue dog Democrats who were beaten to a pulp. And she will now be in charge of the Democrat Party again, which I say is a good thing for those of us who believe in truth, justice, and the American way, because she best typifies the opposite of a truth, justice in the American way, which is why one of the main reasons the Democrats took a shellacking is because of Nancy Pelosi's highly visible actions and attitudes. Well, I think this has to be continued in the next hour and one day after the other on the Savage Nation. Again, stuff yourself with the truth for Thanksgiving by Trickle Up Poverty. It's a very good ad, actually. If it was Mad Men, they probably would run with that one. For Thanksgiving, if I said to them, what should the ad be for Thanksgiving? They'd say, stuff yourself with the truth is very good. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Well, where we left off yesterday on the Savage Nation was a little riddle. Kids are going to go from playing doctor to playing TSA. Hi, Betty. Want to play TSA? Sure, Bobby. How does it work? You show me yours, and I won't show you mine. Now, it may sound like a joke, and everyone got a good kick out of it, but that may as well be the game that Big Sis is playing. At the end of the day, a power-mad government is what we are talking about, and people are getting very, very angry at Janet Napolitano and the Department of Homeland Security, and people are fed up with the body scans and the genital pat-downs. The good news that came out yesterday is that John Pistole, the TSA administrator, told Congress that there will be no religious exemptions for pat-downs at airports, and Muslims will be not excused. He said if somebody is randomly screened and the imaging or pat-down are refused because of religious reasons, Pistole said the person is not getting on that airplane. Then Mike Johanns, Republican of Nebraska, asks, at what point is there a tipping point? You're telling people to take off your shoes, take off your coat, throw away your liquids, and now advanced imaging and obtruding pat-downs. And he asked, are we at a point where people think you're overstepped your boundaries? Pistole said the threats are real and it comes down to balance between privacy and security. So we are having a real national discussion about this situation. In the midst of all of this, we have politics as usual. Now we read that Sarah Palin says she could beat Obama. It looks like she's definitely thrown her, I would say, hat in the ring, but this is a family show. That's why I say thrown her hat in the ring. The hat's on the cat. Sarah Palin says she could beat Obama. Seriously considering running for the White House. Not as a VP. That's what she told blah, blah, Walters. She told blah, blah, Walters that she will run. I'm looking at the lay of the land and trying to figure that out. If it's a good thing for the country, for the blah, 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 blah. Walter said, if you ran for president, could you beat Obama? I believe so. Now, you know my feelings on this. I like Palin's politics. I like her gutsiness. That's the end of the road. She runs, Obama's the president in 2012. That's my opinion. And I tell you the truth, I'm astounded that this would even come up. That would be like hearing that a certain commentator on Fox News would run for the presidency because of egomania. There's a huge chasm between the media and politics. Sometimes people in the media get megalomaniacal and think that they can do anything. But there's a big difference between aping for a camera or aping for a microphone and running for the presidency. Okay? That's all I can say at this point. You know, Big Sis couldn't bring herself to say that Muslim women wouldn't get a religious exemption from love taps at the airport. But the man who really runs the TSA, John Pistole, said that nobody is going to get a pass. Here's what Senator John Ensign asked him.
On the enhanced imaging, there's been reports in the media that have said certain religious groups, you know, want to be exempted, you know, because of religious, obviously, reasons. Are you going to, you know, allow certain groups to be exempted from that because of you know, religious beliefs?
Well, Senator, we try to be sensitive to each individual and in groups that have particular sensitivities as to whether it's headwear or certain garb or sensitivities about being viewed or touched and everything. So we try to be sensitive to those issues. Bottom line is we have to ensure that each person getting on each flight has been properly screened. And so we have options such as if somebody does not want to go through the advanced imaging technology, they would just do the walk-through metal detector and then and have a pat-down.
And then when asked about religious exemptions, here's the answer.
If somebody is a random screening, I just got randomly screened at the airport, whatever reason, my number seems to come up quite often. But if that, you know, happens and either the imaging, okay, was one of the options or, you know, the pat down. Let's just say I don't want either of them because of religious reasons. What happens to me?
So while I respect and we respect that person's beliefs, that person's not going to get on an airplane.
Okay. There will be no exceptions. Just no. Because of religion. That's what that was.
Okay.
Okay. That was the answer that I was looking for.
Well, that's frankly the kind of man we need in government. unlike Luis Gutierrez, who is forcing the Dems to push the DREAM Act during the lame duck session.
He says that he still believes in comprehensive immigration reform, but that he does understand that in the lame duck session, he will be for a down payment towards comprehensive immigration reform and will be focusing entirely on the DREAM Act. The DREAM Act is but one component of a broad series of measures to bring about comprehensive immigration reform. We have border patrol issues. We have internal security issues in terms of who can get a job, the biometric card, how many people can come on H-1B visas to come and join different industries. There's all kinds of different parts of it, but this will not affect 95% of the undocumented.
Undocumented? What in the world does he mean by undocumented? It's illegal to come here illegally. I like the pictures of the girls in the New York Post. Murdoch has a knack of mixing cheesecake with news that you got to hand to him. He built an empire on the cheesecake plus news. You take a look at Fox News. Now, admittedly, some of the girls are good-looking and intelligent. I hear some of them even have law degrees, but you have to admit that the lipstick and the short dresses don't hurt. You know what I'm saying? And you look at CNN, whoa, what a group of dogs. No wonder they're at the bottom of the... You take a look at MSNBC or CNN. I mean, let's be clear. Dogs like you can't believe. Forget that they're radical leftists. If there was one good-looking one amongst them, okay. Why is it all the good-looking women are all conservatives and all the dogs are liberals? How does that work? How does that work out that all the dogs are liberals and all the good-looking ones are conservatives? I wonder how that works out. Did they become liberals because they're rejected? And they're bitter and they hate men? They hate society because they were rejected, and the best they could do is wind up on MSNBC or CNN. And the ones who were popular, they did get married, and they do have a decent sex life, so they are conservative because they like themselves. Is there something to that? I don't know. 1-800-449-8255. See any good movies lately? I watched Military History last night about the Korean War, the Forgotten War. You see American troops, their feet were frozen in the snow. I never saw men had to fight in such conditions in my life. I never saw anything. It was like Napoleon's army getting caught in Russia. They sent the boys in without winter clothing. How they fought, where they had the courage and the strength from, I don't know. And it was for nothing, the whole war. And then you flash to an ad, you see, it's like two different species of man. The men of the 1950s, and then the men they show you today in the ads. Or the Hollywood comedians, or the, I can't explain it. It's as though it's like a parallel universe between the men of the 50s. Even the generals. You take a MacArthur, or a Ridgway, a young General Ridgway brought in, a World War II hero, to save Korea from a devastation. Mao Tse-tung unleashed 250,000 troops. Ridgway saved it by reigniting the morale of the troops. And then you compare it to today. There's the sports players. Let's start with sports. You take a look at them, they look like degenerates with the hair hanging down, no role models. It doesn't mean they're not talented as ball players, but there's no Mickey Mantle or Joe DiMaggio. You look at them. Where's the Joe DiMaggio of our time? I'm sure there's a guy who's just as good as him, but why don't they inspire a feeling of looking up to a hero? Why does the guy have to look like a dirtbag running around with hair hanging down his back, for example? Or you look at the generals. They look like ushers in a movie theater with epaulettes. Captain Kangaroo. Where are they? I mean, the men must still be here. Where are they? Did they all die? Did they all get killed in Vietnam? Where did the men go? What happened to them? Maybe they're all in Pelican Bay. I don't know where they are. Or the cops who control them. I don't know where they are. Where'd they all go? Where are the men like the men who could fight and not freeze to death? And still fight with their legs were frozen underneath them. Where'd they go? Where'd they all go? I'll be right back.
Savage.
One 800 449 8255. Cable television. Viewers pull plug on cable TV. Biggest subscribers decline in 30 years.
Wow.
You hear this?
That's just what you predicted, too, that after the election, it was going to go in the toilet.
Why? I don't even remember that one.
No, what you said was once people got sick of hearing the politics and the election and they kept going on it, that they were going to pull the plug on the
news. Oh, you mean just even Fox News, exactly. All of that.
Exactly, the cable news outlets, and it's happened.
Well, I hope they're still listening to talk radio.
I think they are, primarily to you, because you're the one who mixes it up, and it's not just politics all the time.
The number of people subscribing to U.S. cable television services has suffered its biggest decline in 30 years as younger tech-savvy viewers lead an exodus to web-based operations such as, and they name them. The total number of subscribers to TV services provided by cable satellite telco fell by 119,000 in the third quarter compared with a gain of 346,000 in the third quarter of 2009. Hold on, American. Although TV services offered by telecoms and sat providers added subscribers over the period, cable operators were hard hit, with subscriber numbers falling by 741,000, a large decline in 30 years. The figures suggest that cord cutting, one of the pay TV industry's biggest fears, is becoming a reality as viewers drift to web-based platforms. That's amazing. So this is a big trend. Devices such as Apple's iPad also appear to be accelerating the move away from traditional multi-channel television. Well, I don't know. Our ratings are up. Year to date, I know that my ratings are up year to date. My book sales went through the ceiling. How do you explain that my book sales were so big without any appearance on Fox? Well, I don't know. You know,
you got the loyalists. Anyway, here's some out there.
The audience is out there. Lawmakers are blasting the TSA. A Democrat senator said that crotch gropes are just love pats. Who said that one? Which lunatic? Is that Bonnie Frank? No. TSA Administrator John Pistole and several senators from both parties defended the new enhanced airport screening procedures. Pistole was calm and confident. He said that we know the terrorist intent is still there. I want to see the one who said that it's love pats. Here it is. Senator McCaskill, that's the Claire McCaskill of Missouri, said, "I'm wildly excited that I can walk through a machine instead of getting my dose of love pats." That's disgusting.
Oh, my God.
That is really low level. Where is she, from Louisiana? Missouri?
Yeah, she's from Missouri.
I didn't even know that they had sex in Missouri. I thought it was illegal. Is it legal in Missouri to have love pats?
Well, she was the one who was talking about the VIG because she grew up in a gambling background. Remember that?
Oh! Yeah. She's Miss VIG.
Yeah, that's right. Instead of Miss Viggy. Yeah, right.
Speaking of love pats, a piece of Natalie Holloway's jaw was found in Aruba.
Ooh.
That's horrible. Wasn't no love pat there. Speaking of love pats, Prince William and Kate Middleton are engaged. Speaking of love pats, Kate Middleton's engagement ring is Princess Diana's. Speaking of love pats, Dick Cheney says history is beginning to come around on Bush. I'm sorry. Sometimes I get into these giddy moods. I can't help it.
The love pats from Cheney are to be avoided from what I hear.
Man arrested after punching screener in Indianapolis. DA in California vows to prosecute the overly touchy TSA. Wow.
Wow. So they are doing something about it. They're standing.
The Washington Times is calling. Listen to this. They copied me. They did an editorial today called Big Sisters Police State.
Yeah, I wonder where they got that phrase.
Big Sis is catching on.
I think so.
So we got a lot of Major League stories on the Savage Nation. We also got the story about From Hammer to Yammer, and that would be Nancy Pelosi being reelected by the Demon Cats as the leader. I, for one, am very happy. The woman who used to be known as the Hammer will still be there for the next 2 years to run the Democrats further into the ground by running her ego. The more Pelosi speaks, the better it will be for conservatives. She's gone from hammering to yammering in one election. Remember how Pelosi came into power? She turned the floor of the House of Reps into a daycare center. There were so many children, she could barely raise her hand to take the oath of office. And she said at the time she was doing it all for the children. So Pelosi passed the bailout, condemned them to a lifetime of debt. She passed Obamacare and signed the seventh of our economy into indentured socialism. She let Barney Frank twist the financial system to his will with regulations that benefited his friends in the industry. Well, they called her the Iron Lady of American politics, but the only thing iron about her is her will to power. It's now up to Boehner. I'm sorry, it's now up to Boehner. It's now up to John Boehner and the Republicans to prove they really meant what they said during the elections. Will they start by showing some backbone during the lame duck session? Well, they've already done something. They passed the complete earmark ban. Harry Reid opposed it, by the way. Will they shut down the proceedings if Obama tries to pass the DREAM Act and give illegal aliens free education? Or will they cave as they usually do and sit back and entrench their power? I'm not holding my breath. But I say, go, Nancy, go. Dig in your iron spiked heels right until the 2012 election. She is the best spokesman the Republicans could ever have. Earlier, I was reading a story on cougars, but I don't think I can go there because it's not a live show in an auditorium. Right? I'm not exactly on satellite radio where I can say anything I want. But admittedly, I had the guys cracking up with the joke I read about cougars. We're not allowed to talk about. We had names for cougars when I was young, and we didn't call them cougars. Let me tell you something else. Remember the oldies dances when you were younger? There used to be oldies dances, like when we were 15, 16, 17, just coming up looking, you know, for dates. There were always like oldies dances, people over 30. I couldn't believe it.
Good night, sweetheart, when it's time to go.
How old 30 looked when you were 17 or 18? 30 was your grandfather. Isn't it amazing? It's astounding what age comes down to be. It's all very, very, subjective, the whole thing.
Sweetheart, good night. Good night, sweetheart.
As Obama is traveling the world trying to sell his agenda to the rest of the world, our enemies are not sitting back and resting. Joining us right now with an exclusive update is Eric Stackelback.
Michael, thanks. Always a pleasure to be here. And we have two exclusive reports to bring to the Savage Nation this week. Actually, both of them debuted today on CBN News. Number one, the Iran-Venezuela axis in our hemisphere, Michael, how Venezuela, in our backyard in South America, is helping Iran build a nuclear bomb, and they're doing it on Venezuelan soil. That's number one. And number two, I want to hit some exclusive video I obtained of Al-Qaeda training in the Sahara Desert in North Africa. This branch of Al-Qaeda is called Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghrib. It's an area of the Sahara, stretches across North Africa, and they call it the Islamic Maghrib. That's what it's known as. This is an emerging threat, Al-Qaeda in North Africa. We have our eye on Iraq, Yemen, Pakistan, Afghanistan, and here this new storm is brewing in North Africa in very close proximity, I might add, to Europe and right across the Atlantic from the United States. So first, Michael, though, let's start in our backyard in the Western Hemisphere in Venezuela. The new episode of my show, Stackelbeck on Terror, which you can see on CBNNews.com, is titled, it's a special edition of the show, and it's called The Iran-Venezuela Axis. And what I did was I got a former high-ranking State Department official named Roger Noriega. This guy under the Bush administration was very high up in the State Department, and although there's a lot of bad apples, Michael, as you know, at the State Department, he's one of the good ones, Roger Noriega. He's been sounding the alarm about the Hugo Chavez Venezuela threat for years now. He's a top expert in that field. And also on the panel, I had a guy by the name of Alan Berman, who was also a top expert on Iran. So I hit it from both sides, Iran and Venezuela. And the information that Roger Noriega, this former State Department official, shared with me, Michael, was stunning and shocking.
What is that?
In our hemisphere, Iran is mining for uranium in Venezuela.
What?
Now, as you might know, Iran has a shortage of uranium. You need uranium, enriched uranium, to make a nuclear bomb, which is what Iran is trying to do, as we all know, even though the Obama administration might think otherwise. So they need uranium, Michael, and they're finding it in Venezuela. It's a gold mine. It's supposed gold mine in Venezuela. It's a gold mine, all right, a gold mine for uranium for Iran. So the Venezuelans say, hey, this is just a gold mine. But here, it's called the Roraima basin. This is one of the biggest supplies in this basin, Michael. Contains one of the biggest supplies of uranium in the world. So needless to say, Iran is not mining for gold in this basin. They are there for the uranium.
Oh, my God.
Chavez, Hugo Chavez, the Venezuelan dictator, that's what he is, a dictator, is aiding and abetting Iran in the building of this nuclear program, providing them with uranium, number one. Number two, Michael, we reveal in the show the military relationship between Iran and Venezuela. We have exclusive aerial footage of a covert Iranian military installation in Venezuela. Exclusive aerial footage never seen before. And in this installation, you have Iranian guards. Venezuelan government officials are not allowed to enter this installation on Venezuelan soil. It's an Iranian-owned and operated military installation, and who knows, Michael, what's going on in there, but what the Venezuelans say is it's a tractor factory.
Well, of course.
That's right. They say this Iranian installation is a mere tractor factory. They're only selling tractor parts, they say. Well, I don't think John Deere is going to be showing up there anytime soon, Michael, but I'll tell you who did show up there about 2 years ago for a little visit, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the Iranian president. I don't think he was looking to buy a tractor unless he maybe wanted to use it to mow down some protesters in the streets of Tehran. So you have this illicit tractor factory. You have this supposed gold mine where there's uranium being mined. You also have, if you're talking about Iran, Michael, you have to talk about Hezbollah. And it's no surprise here that Hugo Chavez, who you've seen the footage, all of our listeners here have seen the footage of Hugo Chavez, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, hugging each other, military parades in Caracas, Venezuela, in Tehran, Iran. Chavez has visited Tehran 9 times, 9 official state visits over the last several years. Ahmadinejad has also visited Venezuela several times.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're talking about Iran, you're talking about an alliance with Iran, then you have to talk about Hezbollah, Iran's terrorist proxy. And sure enough, Hugo Chavez, in our backyard, in our hemisphere, is forging a relationship with Iran's client, Hezbollah. In the show, Michael, we provide exclusive, never-before-seen photos of Venezuelan government officials in Beirut, in the bunker, meeting with Hezbollah leaders and a member of Hezbollah's intelligence apparatus.
Oh, my God.
This is a big deal. Why would Venezuelan government officials be meeting with not only Hezbollah, which is bad enough, they're vicious murderers who killed 241 U.S. Marines in the 1983 Marine barracks bombing in Beirut, but a member of the intelligence apparatus of Hezbollah, the kind of guys who are involved with Hezbollah terrorist attacks, Hezbollah military raids into northern Israel? Why are Venezuelan government officials meeting with these guys?
Why is that?
Because they are a sworn enemy of the United States in our backyard. And they're up to no good in our hemisphere, Michael. Whatever happens to the Monroe Doctrine, right?
Well, what are we doing about this?
We're not doing anything about it. The Bush administration pretty much tried to ignore Chavez. Oh, he's a clown. Let's just ignore him. We don't want to provoke him. He doesn't need to be provoked. He does the provoking. The Obama administration, where do we begin, has completely ignored this problem. We saw last year at a conference in Latin America, I believe it was April 2009, Barack Obama giving the old gripping grin to Hugo Chavez and sharing a laugh with him, if you remember that footage, and Hugo Chavez handing Obama a book, and Obama taking it and shaking his hand. This is the response. This is the response we're giving to Hugo Chavez, who is helping, as my panel says, Michael, in the show, helping Iran build a nuclear bomb in our hemisphere.
This is unbelievable to me.
I hate to sound like a broken record, but that can't be stressed enough, Michael. This is in our backyard, and we're not doing a thing about it.
What can be done?
What can be done? Awareness. Awareness about the Chavez threat. How about sanctions? Sanctions against Venezuela. Let's get serious about this guy, because I'll tell you, Michael, we have a Cuban Missile Crisis type situation, and I'm not understating this. according to intelligence officials I speak to who do get it, we have a Cuban Missile Crisis type situation brewing in Venezuela with their cooperation on Iran's nuclear program. They're helping Iran get around sanctions, number one. Number two, Venezuela may be looking to build a nuclear bomb of its own. And what do you know? They're doing it like Iran is doing it with Russian help.
What do you mean?
Chavez just signed a huge deal with Russia for Russia to build a nuclear reactor in Venezuela, just like the Russians did in Iran. So, hello, let's wake up. Who are we kidding? It's obvious what Chavez is up to. We need to wake up to this threat in our midst. And right now, it doesn't look like the Obama administration wants any parts of it. And Michael, shifting gears a bit, speaking of that, it doesn't look like the Obama administration wants any parts of Al-Qaeda in North Africa either. Now, we know that Al-Qaeda has been targeted in Pakistan, in Yemen, in Iraq, and that's great. But there's a new Al-Qaeda threat brewing.
What's happening now?
As I broke this today, exclusive video of Al-Qaeda in North Africa training. They call themselves Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghrib, as I said, AQIM for short. And I was able to get my hands on some exclusive footage from a contact who just returned from North Africa. Basically, Michael, this footage was shot by an undercover informant who was able to infiltrate AQIM. It shows them training in a remote region of the Sahara Desert, AK-47s, the typical deal. Also shows them divvying up loot and booty in the Muslim way, just as Muhammad himself did, divvying up loot and booty in the desert after a successful raid.
Are you kidding?
Now, this is a very dangerous group. Al-Qaeda is shifting more resources there because they are feeling the heat in Yemen, in Pakistan. So North Africa is an emerging front for this group. And the way they fund their operations, AQIM, number one, they kidnap Westerners. They've taken many Western hostages. They hold them for ransom. And European nations, Michael, you're not going to believe this, have paid some 20 million euros to AQIM to have their citizens freed.
Unbelievable.
That's the equivalent of 25 million U.S. dollars. So Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghrib, AQIM, North Africa, is blackmailing Europe. And the other thing that makes them dangerous is they're in close proximity to Europe, right across the Mediterranean Sea. And Moroccan intelligence officials tell me that AQIM has an extensive network throughout Western Europe, particularly in Spain and the suburbs of Paris, those restless Muslim suburbs of Paris. And why not? It's right across the Mediterranean from North Africa. And I'll tell you another thing. It's right across the Atlantic Ocean from the United States. It's closer than Iraq, Pakistan, or Yemen to the U.S.
Exactly.
This is an emerging threat here. We don't have our eyes on it at all. I talked to North African intelligence officials, Michael, and they're very frustrated with the Obama administration's lack of attention. I mean, look, I know you can only be in so many places at one time, but to me, North Africa, as I said, the proximity to the West, number one, and number two, let's stamp it out before it gets really bad. Let's not be reactive like we were in Afghanistan, like we are in Yemen now. Let's not be reactive. Let's be proactive.
Why do you say that?
Because North Africa in the Sahara region has all the ideal qualities of an Al-Qaeda breeding ground. You have a remote region of desert, remote, rugged terrain. You have weak governments, failed states, corrupt governments with weak militaries. Plenty of places to hide. Plenty of places to train, and for Westerners, Western jihadis who want to go abroad and train in jihad, hey, it's a stone's throw away right across the Atlantic or right across the Mediterranean. So we need to keep an eye on this emerging front, Michael, Al-Qaeda in North Africa.
Thanks for the report, Eric.
Michael, thanks again. Always a pleasure. And these two exclusive reports that I just talked about here, you can see them both on CBNNews.com. Thanks again.
Is Obama really keeping us safe? His failed policies are adding up faster than our national debt. Is this really the hope and change everyone wanted? Or thought that would happen? I've written Trickle-Up Poverty so you can inform yourself and others about what is going on before it is too late. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Talk about six ways oatmeal can improve your skin. No, I will not tell you about 10 superfoods for radiant skin. No, I will not review a male hula dancer. No, I will not do any of the things that make Nancy Pelosi's backyard the maddest place on earth. Welcome back to the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. The reason I am playing The Age of Aquarius is because Obama is ending the Age of Aquarius. You see, in the 1960s, hippies and leftists declared that the Age of Aquarius had arrived. Now, it was supposed to be an age of peace, love, and understanding. But for decades, the left has used these ideas as a way to bring Marxist socialism to power in America. But now, Obama has pushed this madness so far and so fast that he has brought the Age of Aquarius to an end. The reaction to Obama's rabid leftist extremists has been so great that it will not only cause a political shift in America, but a cultural shift as well. That is my prognosis of what's going on. He moved too quickly, and he moved too fast, and he moved too deeply. He did not do it gradually. As a result, he's blown apart the entire Marxist myth. Look, I know you worry about what's going on in Afghanistan from what's going on in the White House, but with all of that, you shouldn't have to worry about your computer on top of everything else. So go visit my advertisers at Carbonite.com. They'll back up all your important files so they're safe no matter what happens. Use my offer code SAVAGE and you're going to get 2 months free with your subscription. That's Carbonite.com, offer code SAVAGE. Florida, California, Chicago, Boston, Massachusetts, Detroit, wherever the Savage Nation is heard, on all the 300 and some odd affiliates, the millions of listeners, you're all available to call the show right now, 1-800-449-8255. Let us go to Wisconsin. Barbara, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
I want to discuss this divide and conquer approach that Obama has. You know, he came in with the unity. We're not purple states. We're not red states. We're not blue states. We're purple states. We're the United States. Hogwash. He has taken every segment of our population from race to religion to age, you name it, and divided all of us.
Absolutely. He's the most divisive president in American history. He's the great divider. And Michael Savage said it first. The most divisive president in American history, says Savage. The most divisive president in American history, says Savage. The great divider, says Savage. The country is more divided today than it has been since the Civil War. You agree or disagree with what I just said?
Absolutely do. And I will tell you something, Michael. I am a homosexual business owner, and I have had it. You know what? I'm a Republican. I don't care who I sleep with. That's my business. That has nothing.
Well, have you ever heard me recently say one word about anyone else's desires? Have you? No. You know I haven't.
No. And I don't care about anyone else.
That's because you're probably having a better time than I am. So I decided to say maybe there's something in it. You know, what's going on here?
I'm a business owner, and I see my, you know, they drive wedges between our employees and us.
But I guarantee you're having a better time than I am. I mean, I can hear that in your voice. It sounds like you got something to do tonight.
In bed, but not at work.
Oh, I was trying to draw that out of you. At least you got a sense of humor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Forgot the point.
Oh. Are there more women in the lesbian community like yourself than people know? More lesbian women who are homosexual, who are conservative?
I think there are, but you know, I have to tell you, when I came and I said, I'm voting Republican, I will tell you, my college professors that I was good friends with, they won't talk to me. My friends in the gay community won't have anything to do with me.
So if I send you a free copy of Trickle Up Poverty, can I put it in a plain brown crinoline?
You can put Trickle Up. I'm proud.
I am proud.
Well, if you're proud to be out, then you should be proud to keep the book out. Keep it on your dashboard. The next time you go out, keep it out. How's that? Is that a good phrase for that community? The next time you go out, keep it out.
That's right. And I
you know what? You and I can be friends. I can guarantee you. You got a quick wit. You know, I saw a movie. I forget the guy's name. He's very popular. He's a big liberal. He's a middle-aged guy with gray hair up in the air or something. And he plays the role of a guy who flies around the country and fires people. Does anyone know the actor I'm talking about? George Clooney, Up in the Air. So he plays a corporate guy who flies around and fires people by video screen. He doesn't even meet them. He just decimates their lives. So in one line, he says something. He's training a young girl how to travel and who to get behind on the check-in line and securities. Security says to get behind Japanese. They pack neatly. They know how to travel. They don't take up much time. She says, that's very racist. And one of the writers wrote this for him. He says, I'm like my mother. I profile. It's quicker. I thought it was very funny. All right. Flap less, coast more. MichaelSavage.com.
Savage.